السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with the book Be Mindful of Allah by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayh, chapter 5. When you ask, ask Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to ask Allah alone and prohibited us from asking anyone other than Him. Allah commanded us to ask of Him, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, but ask Allah for His bounty. Tirmidhi quotes from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُسْأَلَ. Ask Allah for His bounty because Allah loves to be asked. He also quotes from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُلِحِينَ فِي الدُّعَى. Allah loves those who beseech earnestly in supplication. In another hadith it states, every one of you should ask his Lord for all his needs, even asking for a strap for his shoe when it breaks. There are many ahadith with a similar meaning, and there are numerous ahadith, authentic ahadith, prohibiting asking from creation. In the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave of Allah continues to ask, i.e. people, for things, though he does not need to, until his reputation is worn out. Then he has no honor in the sight of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a pledge from a group of companions that they would not ask people for anything. This group included Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Dharr, and Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhum. If any of them dropped his whip or his camel's halter, he would not even ask anyone to hand it to him. In the same way, the example I gave you the other day of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi rahmatullahi alayh, he wouldn't even ask for his food at the time of food. If it was presented, he would eat it, otherwise. Justification for only asking Allah. Asking Allah and His creation is justified logically. Asking Allah and not asking Allah and not His creation is justified logically and according to the Sharia for a number of reasons. For instance, because asking compromises one's honor and is degrading for him. It should not be done for anyone except Allah alone. An individual should not humble himself through worship and asking before anyone but Allah. This is a true sign of love. Yusuf ibn al-Husayn was asked, "What is wrong with the lovers who take pleasure in their degradation in love?" So he recited, "Degradation of the young man for love is most welcome. Degradation of the young man for love is most welcome. And humbling himself before his Lord is an honor. And humbling himself before his beloved is an honor." This degradation and love is only suitable for Allah alone. It is the true worship, exclusive only to the true God. Imam Ahmad used to say in his supplication, "O Allah, save my face from asking anyone other than you, just as you have saved it from prostrating to anyone other than you." Abu al-Khair al-Aqta said, "I was in Makkah for a year when hardship and poverty befell me. Whenever I wanted to go out to ask from people, a voice would cry out, 'You wish to sacrifice the honor of the face you prostrate to me. On the face you prostrate to me on for someone other than me.'" Similarly, one of the early Muslims would say, "Sacrificing one's honor by asking begets no compensation, even though wealth is acquired through asking. Were you to weigh the worth of asking against favors, asking would prove weightier and every favor light. If you must sacrifice your honor through asking, then only surrender it to the most kind, the most generous." The punishment of the one who persistently asks people without need will reflect this degradation. On the day of rising, his face will have no shred of flesh, as is established in the Sahihain. He has wasted his honor and integrity in the world, so in the hereafter, Allah takes away the tangible beauty and splendor of his face, leaving it a mere skull with no flesh. Allah also takes away his metaphorical beauty and splendor, leaving him bereft of honor in the sight of Allah. May Allah protect us all.
Amen.
Asking Allah is worship. Another reason why one should only ask from Allah is that asking is a great form of worship, since it displays neediness towards him and acknowledgement of his power to fulfill needs. Asking creation is an injustice, since created beings are incapable of gaining benefit and removing harm from themselves, let alone extend the same to others. By asking them, you incorrectly assign to them the position of someone who has capability. A hadith in the Sahih of Muslim from Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who quotes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, confirms this meaning. "Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum ila akhiri." My slaves, if the first of you and the last of you, your humans and your jinn, were to stand on one plane and ask me, and I were to give every person what he asked for, it would not decrease what I possess, except like the amount a needle takes from the sea when it is dipped in it. In Tirmizi and other books, there is the following addition to the hadith. That is because I am the generous, the perceiver, the glorious, and I do what I will. My granting is but a word, and my punishment is but a word. When I wish a thing, I merrily say to it, Kun, Fayakun, be, and it is. Wake up. Wake up. What? You're still sleeping. You awake or asleep? No, you're sleeping. You going to wake up or not?
Yes.
So wake up. Have you woken up now?
Yes.
No, you haven't. You've woken up?
Yes.
Inshallah. In Tirmizi and other books, there is the following addition to the hadith. That is because I am the generous. Wake up. The perceiver. Are you awake? No. The glorious. Allahu Akbar. Say what? That is because I am the generous, the perceiver, the glorious, and I do what I will. Allahu Akbar Kabira. My granting is but a word. Say what? And my punishment is but a word. May Allah protect us. When I wish a thing, I merrily say to it, be, and it is. You're waking up now. Some of you probably thinking, well, you keep reading and it's boring for us. So now engage with us. So if I engage, I'll make you run. You ready to run? Really?
Allah!
To where? How can one ask the poor, incapable one, and leave the need free, the all-powerful? This is completely absurd. Question may arise. Our brothers and sisters in Palestine, there was a time a few months back they were saying, people of the world, you need to help us. Muslim countries need to help us. Did they do anything? Useless hypocrites. So in that way, we have a responsibility and a duty to give aid and help. We should fulfill our part. It's in that manner they were asking. But the Gazans and the Palestinians are far from it. Look at what they say. They say, we don't need you. One major mistake Maulana Abrar made in his Jummah yesterday, and it's niggling away at me, it's biting like a little mouse. You know, when it bites the cheese. Maulana said, in regards to making dua, they need our dua. You said that. Oh yes, I recorded it in my hard drive. They don't need mine and your dua. They don't need it. We need it. Who needs this more than them?
We
need it. We need to prove, not to ourselves, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have some sympathy and we have some understanding and we have some feeling of the fact that they are in such a position and we can't do anything, we are helpless. So, Ya Allah, I am asking you on their behalf, I am nothing, I am useless, I am a sinner, but I am raising and I am submitting my request to you to give them aid, help them.
Amen.
Whose need is it?
Amen.
Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, when these children that are now dead, massacred, killed, butchered, they stand in the presence of Allah and they complain to Allah that this individual, he sat in i'tikaf, but he did not even raise his hands to you to ask. These women that have been butchered and murdered, and their honor taken. When they stand in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and they put this whole ummah in the box to be judged by the judge of all judges, then what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to do to us? Do we even have a face to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are even afraid to raise our voice and say, Netanyahu is a shaitan. This is a Zionist regime. This is a genocide. We are even afraid to do that. We are even afraid to display the Palestinian flag in our window. Oh, what's going to happen if people look at this and they're going to come and... One of the early Muslims said, how can I ask for the world from one created being who does not own it, when I am ashamed to ask Allah, its true owner, for it? Another early Muslim became extremely impoverished, and he decided to request assistance from one of his brothers. One night, however, he saw a dream of someone saying to him, is it fitting for a free seeker's heart to incline towards slaves when Allah possesses what he seeks? When he awoke, his heart felt completely need-free. Independence from asking is a big thing. And we should do it at every level. And the level that is mentioned of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wouldn't even ask for us. For his whip, if it dropped, can you pick that up for me? Because that's asking for help. There are some who have never asked for help. A story that I related a number of times in the past. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's going to be in Jannat with me? Oh, well, so and so. Well, where is this individual? Where? So he's on a mountain over there doing my worship. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam arrives at this place, and he climbs the mountain, and when he gets there, he sees a big rock, and on this rock there is this individual with no legs and arms, and that individual is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he observes from a distance. The birds come and they put water in his mouth, they put food in his mouth, and he eats and praises Allah. And he eats and praises Allah and keeps praising Allah. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam goes to him and says, who are you? I am Musa. He realizes this is the Nabi. Says, can I do something for you? No, Allah, alhamdulillah. Allah is providing for me. No, please let me do you some service. Now, afraid of the fact that he is a Nabi of Allah, I shouldn't be disrespectful. So he says, I haven't had any, you know, fresh spring water, cold spring water. So there's a spring down at the bottom. Could you just give me a sip of that water? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam goes down and he comes back up. When he arrives, the wild animals have torn this wali of Allah apart. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam becomes upset. Ya Allah, what's happened here? Allah said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, I kept feeding him. If he asked me for cold spring water, I would have ordered the water to gush forth from where he was and go into his mouth. He did not ask me, and he asked you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. Nothing is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have read in one of the revealed scriptures that Allah says, yeah, are you still thinking, where did you say? No? Oh, good. I know, I definitely registered. I was going to say then I kept quiet. Then I was going to say in the evening, I kept quiet. After Isha, I kept quiet. I can't anymore. I'm going to burst. You don't mind. I don't know, imams, you know, they can be touchy sometimes. Not Maulana Abrar, alhamdulillah. He is a banda. More than any one of you. I'll say this, put all of you to one side and him to one side. He will outweigh you. Alhamdulillah. I have read in one of the revealed scriptures that Allah says, in times of difficulty he has hopes in someone other than me. But hardships are in my hand and I am the living, the self-sustaining. Early in the morning he has hopes in someone other than me knocking at their doors. But the keys of the treasures are in my hand and my door is open to all who call me. Is there anyone who raised his hopes in me in his misfortune and I deprived him? Is there anyone who raised his hopes in me in a calamity and I deprived him? Is there anyone who knocked on my door and I did not open it for him? I am the highest of all hopes, so how can I deprive hopes in me? Am I a miser so that my slave becomes miserly with me? Do the world, the hereafter, honor and grace not belong to me? Then what prevents the hopeful from raising hopes in me? If I was to gather the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth and give every one of them everything, and I was to make every one of their hopes come true, it would not decrease my dominion to the amount of part of an ant. How can the dominion decrease when I am its sustainer? Oh, how wretched are those who despair from my mercy. Oh, how wretched are those who disobey me and rush to what I have forbidden. So that reminds me, how generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's shut the doors of Jahannam. He's opened the doors of Jannah. He's multiplied every deed by so much. Not only that, those are things you can't see. You will only see them, feel them, experience them, and gain from them in the hereafter. Inshallah. And is that as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can go and goes? No. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing for you right now? He's given you a carpet to sit on. He's given you a good sleep. You slept. You could have slept more, but you knew I was coming. And you had to do your salatu tasbih. Who did not do the salatu tasbih today? You haven't been here, so you didn't know. But you could have found out. I know you, Dean, you were sleeping. You did probably your Salatul Tasbih in the sleep. I don't know. Some people might dream of it. I get texts from people, I was reading namaz with you. I said, chalo, subhanallah. People see weird dreams. So, how generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let me put it this way. How much food have you been besieged by? Am I right? You've been besieged, overwhelmed with food. Your mind stops to work. What am I going to eat? But you nevertheless eat. And you eat. And you eat. Am I right? And you don't stop. Do you stop? If I ask the khadims now, they'll say, these guys, once they start, until the dasturkhan is safa and safa, they keep eating, don't they? And they ask for more. Oh, you're only protecting them. How much do you eat? You keep eating and eating and eating and eating. And some of you are ruthless with the food. Am I right? Ruthless. Let it come. Who's giving you that food?
Allah.
You know, if you go and look in some places and you can ask, Haji Sahib, he's done etikaf in other places. You don't get nothing. You have to, and I've done etikaf before. On a number of occasions, not once. And you have to tell your family, you know, make my food ready, send it at this time, and then send the tiffin back. You know, you understand tiffin? You send it back, I don't know, they call it something else nowadays. Is it? In those days, you didn't even have a hot food container. So by the time the food came and you ate your food, it was gone cold. So you had to eat cold food. And what are you getting? Your tea goes cold a little bit? Ah, my tea's cold now. You don't appreciate what you get. You have a nice mattress to sleep on, or a nice thick cushion to sleep on, and you sleep so comfortably. Who's giving you all of that?
Allah.
When it gets a little cold, turn the heating on. Then it gets too hot, or we start to take our clothes off. There is no situation in which we are not grateful. We are always ungrateful. For whatever we have, we should be grateful. And do you know how generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, eat, 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 eat. And you keep eating. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask you for what you ate in Ramadan. No question asked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. In the hadith it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi would become even more generous in the month of Ramadan. Even his generosity would exceed normally what the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu was outside the month of Ramadan. From the beginning of Ramadan, I've been like, you know, keep everything to a minimum. And this is the first time I've thought about keeping things to a minimum because of our brothers and sisters. But for some reason, from the time you guys sat in Etikaf, everybody wants to bring food and desserts. It's madness. You're getting desserts every day. It's never happened before, has it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying, oh, you want to stop them from eating? I'm feeding them. But you know, when you eat, don't forget them. Allah loves being asked. Allah loves being asked. If somebody keeps coming to you and says, you know, bro, give me £5, give me £5, give me £5, give me a pound. Oh, can you do this for me? Give me a lift. Can we go here? Can I use your pen? He comes back. The next, can I use your pen? Even for a simple thing like that, you get fed up. You keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day in, day out, 100 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not tire of it. Allah loves being asked. Another reason for asking Allah alone is that He loves to be asked. And is angry with those who do not ask of Him. Allah wants His slaves to incline towards Him, to ask of Him, to supplicate to Him, and to need Him. You have to show your need to Allah. And He loves those who beseech Him earnestly in supplication. As for created beings, most of them do not appreciate being asked because of their own poverty and incapacity. Ibn As-Sammak said, "Do not ask of the one who flees from you, rather ask of the one who commands you to ask him." Abul Atiyah said, "Allah is angered if you stop asking Him, whereas the children of Adam are angered when you ask them. So make your requests only to God. It is the bounty of our Lord's favor that we live comfortably." Yahya ibn Mu'adh used to say, "O one who is angered at those who do not ask you, do not refuse the one who has asked you." One of the Bedouins recited a couplet, "O Malik, do not ask of people, but search for yourself. Allah's bounty is sufficient for you, for Allah is the most generous. If man was asked for dust, he would complain. If man was asked for dust, he would complain. And if it is said, give, he becomes weary and refuses." The next bit will not finish in 10 minutes. It's long. We need the whole time. Stop here. Allah asks you to ask Him. Yet another reason for only asking Allah is that He asks His slaves to ask Him, and He calls out to them every night, "Is there anyone who is asking that I may forgive him?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's splendor comes down to the first sky in the third portion of the night. And this happens every night. More so in this month. More so in these nights. The splendor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close, you can touch it. With what? Your hand? With your heart. If your heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can touch it, you can reach it. And how will you do that? You'll say, "Ya Allah, forgive me." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. He calls out to them every night, "Is there anyone who is asking that I may give him? Is there anyone who is supplicating that I may accept his request from him?" Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةِ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. If my slaves ask you about me, I am near. I answer the call of the caller when he calls on me. So let us engage more and more and more in dua in these last few moments of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Yes, we have a schedule, we still have a few minutes before that. So let me just have a little open discussion. What's the question I asked? You've forgotten. Why is silence such a strange concept? And somebody brought in the void. And I don't know what that means. Is it some sort of alien? It's a void. Is it an alien? It's something that has landed on this planet. No? Or is it something real? I really don't understand some of this new terminology that is coming out. Doesn't make sense to me. Millennium, or millionaire. Which one is it? What does it even mean? Millennium baby? Something like that. They're all babies. Now that is stuck to them. So what have you thought? Man samata naja. This is a hadith. Man sakata naja. Remain quiet. So the other day I mentioned there is a principle in the Naqshbandi Mujaddidi Tariqah, there are 11. So apart from the asbaq that you have of wukuf-e kalbi, muraqabah, recitation of the Qur'an-i Kareem, istighfar, durud, and rabta bi shaykh, there are other principles. And in those principles, one of them being Khalwat dar anjuman. Khalwat dar anjuman. So this is an anjuman, a gathering. But in this period of time that you've been sat here, are people next to you registering to you? Or are you just alone by yourself listening to what is being said in the presence of Allah? Have you placed yourself in that place? No? Who is between me and you? Who?
Allah.
Who?
Allah.
وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Who is the second when you are one?
Allah.
Who is the third when you are two?
Allah.
The 11th when you are 10? This is it's not a concept, it's a reality that should be inculcated. We live a life of concept, and concept is something that doesn't really have to happen. It's a concept. Live reality. And what's reality? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here. Destroy all concepts. You follow me, you understand what I'm saying? Makes sense. Everything is a concept. That means it can cease to exist. Maybe it doesn't even come into existence. But do what? Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and embrace the reality. Embrace the
reality.
So have you embraced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your i'tikaf? You have? You have? Or far from it? Why? Because you're falling short. So you still have the rest of today, you have Sunday, you have Monday, and inshallah, bi-idhnillah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm counting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us one more day. So you have Tuesday.
Inshallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزله المقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عن الوداد لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحق أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا قومه ورسولا أن أمتي وصلي على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيتي كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيتي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. آمين. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.